Take it away, Amy.
Thank you. All right, so I have three co-presenters. Yes.
Sorry, you
interrupted. Supervisor Shaw.
Kinsey's not going to be here.
Okay.
The other Yank student, okay. She called or emailed me before the meeting. So,
okay.
So if she's excused, I'll remember that.
Okay.
Well, I remember.
All right.
Sorry for the interruption.
No worries. I'm trying to bring in my co-presenter, Jim Kupfer. Many of you know him. He's going to be ideally talking with us about the energy team, which you have some information in front of you. But we're going to jump in with another co-presenter if he's not available. I know he's traveling. He's in Milwaukee right now. But bear with me because he will come in via phone. Just press All right, we'll see if this works. Lots of technology at play. So, in the meantime, what you have in front of you first is our annual report, and we can talk about this at length later, but I'm just giving you a copy now. You'll also get a copy at the full board meeting. Meanwhile, you also have some information about three projects tonight. Feature presentation is about three projects that I've worked on since 2013. In lieu of Jim joining us, we're going to switch from the energy team to talk a little bit about Kenosha Rising with Francisco Loyola, and then follow up with Sharon Palmaville talking about the Kenosha County Food Bank. So, curious. Let's see. What's Jim doing? Excuse me. Jim. Okay, I'm gonna just make it work. I'll put you on speaker and let's see how this goes. Okay. Jim, can you hear us?
Yep.
Can you?
I can.
You can. All right, we're gonna just make this happen here. So, Jim, talk to us about the Kenosha County Energy Team. You and I worked on this in 2013. There's a document in your packet that talks about two things: focus on energy incentives and asset management, like worksheets. So, Jim, you and I worked on this in 2013 to about 2015, and I'm gonna ask you a few questions, and you're just gonna answer those questions for the rest of the committee. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, Jim. So let's try this. So, Jim, talk to us about what the energy team was and how Extension was involved.
Okay, so I'm sitting around in my office one day, and I get a call from the Extension from Amy, and she has this idea, and really some questions just about how the county was looking at energy, looking for energy savings. And she has this plan where we can form a committee, and if the committee would have a couple of purposes. Number one, to investigate if there's any energy saving abilities or capabilities within the organization. And also, she had some information on how to hook us up with the energies and focus for energy. So anyway, we got together a group of people, myself and a couple of people in facilities, and I think we had the electrician at the time. There's a group of like six or seven of us, and Amy led us through this whole, other people had done this before in other places. So we formed this committee, and we hired an intern to help us out, a guy from Carthage College. And we also got focus on energy, a rep from Lee Energies to help us through, because they had done this with other organizations.
Thanks, so, Jim.
Is that it?
Yep, that'll work. That'll work. So what all we're right. looking at is this document here. So I just put in your packet a little information about what the Kenosha County Energy Team environmental and financial impacts were since 2016. So this is an example of a project that community development educator Amy Grile did with Department of Public Works and a number of different divisions in the county. So what we're looking at, Jim, is essentially a very short snippet of the dollars saved by Kenosha County, all told $46,000, since 20, 2016?
I think that's 2016. It doesn't include what we did in 2015, and it doesn't have everything on there that we've done for the last year or two.
Okay.
I probably had another 15 grand.
Okay.
My number was around 60 altogether.
Okay. Thank you. So around $60,000 saved due to the work of the Kenosha County Energy Team. So what this means is we aligned ourselves with Focus on Energy, a statewide organization that helps public sector organizations improve their energy efficiency. We also cut the kilowatt hours by nearly 6 million. 65,000 kilowatt hours. So we're chipping away over time at essentially our energy savings in Kenosha County because we were able to pull together a very diverse team and Extension led the way. So our second sheet here, very small font, I give you that. I just wanted to give you a snapshot. This is the job center exclusively. We did this for every one of the 7 facilities that Kenosha County currently maintains. We created a very extensive registry of all of their HVAC systems and calculated its useful life. And this was the first time anything like this was done. So we saw, for example, some of the HVAC equipment was intended to expire within 20 years or 15 years or whatever that looks like. We did very intensive work to see where are we as a county on our HVAC in all facilities to make sure that we are taking advantage of cost savings but also planning for the future of HVAC equipment. So, Jim, going back to you, what can you tell us about the work we did together and how Extension might have been an asset to this process?
Well, I know that there's one thing you really, maybe you talked about it when you were talking about kilowatts, but even though we have additional square footage space added to the county's square footage and the years have gone by, our utility bills are basically flat from way back in that period to what they are right now. And I think a lot of it's a result of, it's not only the 60 some thousand dollars that we actually got back from Focus on Energy, but some of the things that we've actually put in the process have just made the buildings more efficient, either by replacing new equipment or just changing the time things start at night, go into reserve mode. We did a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. So it's been a interesting period and it's been financially very successful.
Thank you, Jim. So I don't want to keep you, but essentially any quick questions for Jim about the energy team? This is something that the Kenosha County Extension spearheaded in 2013, and now Department of Public Works, if any of you are serving on that, this is systematized in their facilities division. They are tracking energy, they are tracking conditions of the HVAC systems, and this has been a very successful program all told due to the fact that Extension was able to look to the future, say, hey, this is happening in other counties, we can do it here, and we really have. Kenosha County has been very responsive. Any questions for Jim before I set him loose here?
Is the committee is now disbanded, or there's no more committee? It's taken over by the public works facilities, like you said?
Exactly.
Okay.
So once Ray Arbit came in, he was very interested in this because his background as an engineer is in lean manufacturing and all the lean practices. He was extremely interested in this and made it just standard process. Jim, maybe you can talk to how Ray took over and basically realized the importance of this work and kind of systematized it in facilities.
I know we have regular meetings with the Focus on Energies. In fact, I think Matt Strino, who's our new guy in facilities, he just met with them within the last week or two to look again at any new projects we might have. We're still in the middle of replacing lighting, and anytime we replace lighting, we get a Focus on Energy credit. And those projects have a couple year payback, but they last for 10 years. So we're continuing along that lines, and most over the last couple years we've done, it's all been at this 1 year, either internally or externally. And then we are continuing to replace these HVAC pieces as they come through.
Thank
you. So it's kind of on, I don't want to say it's on autopilot, but we have a regular program they're following.
Thanks, Jim. All right, I'm going to let you go so we can continue with our meeting, but thank you for your input, and I know everyone here respects you and values your opinion, so I'm really glad that you could join us.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Have a good meeting. Talk
All right, thanks, Jim.
Bye.
So Jim and I have gotten to know each other very well over the years. Thanks for bearing with me as we, like, work through that, but I really wanted Jim to be able to talk about our work together because this was over many years and Jim was instrumental in sort of making it, I think, standard process that we look at all the expenditures that the county is making on behalf of its energy use. So I'm going to hold questions till the end just because we are, like, very much trying to move through a number of projects that I worked on from 2013 to 2022. Okay, second project, Francisco Loyola. Thank you for being here. Francisco Loyola, okay. So in your packet, there is a few different documents that Francisco and I worked on extensively between 2015 and like 2020. This is another example of the sort of work that community development can do, looking at the impact, economic impacts of the arts. So I'm going to give Francisco a single copy here. I don't know if I have another one of the... Nonetheless, certainly this is an infographic. It's beautiful and it's powerful, but I only have the one to give you, Francisco. But nonetheless, this is a project that really allowed me to move into a space where no one else was working. Okay, so another advantage of community development and extension is that I can look into the future as far as, like, what could the county be doing that's not already happening. Kenosha County, you know, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance does a lot with traditional business attraction, relocation, all of the work that they do, but they're not working in arts and creativity. That is certainly not one of their areas that they're focused on. So I went into that space with Francisco and said, hey, let's see what opportunities exist in arts and creativity to grow the economy. So you'll see on this one that looks like sun coming up in Kenosha, Kenosha Rising. This was an infographic on the backside that we did a lot of assessment on what's happening in arts and creativity in Kenosha County. We saw that there's significant impact depending on how you want to slice different industries happening here in Kenosha, nascent and probably under-recognized. But we built a whole program around opportunities around arts and creativity and growing the economic impacts of the arts. So I wanted Francisco to talk, just as Jim did, a little bit about the work we did together. And Kenosha Rising is just even the beginning of what became an actual nonprofit called the Kenosha Creative Space, but nonetheless. Francisco, do you want to introduce yourself for a minute? Because they don't know you. They certainly would know Jim Kupfer, but talk to us.
Yep. Francisco Loyola. I am the director of the Kenosha Creative Space. The Kenosha Creative Space is an organization that was founded in 2016. And it was actually a result of one of the projects from that were identified with this work. The reason why we got involved and we selected to have the Kenosha Rising logo and idea is because when I moved into Kenosha, I discovered that Kenosha has a really, undercover art scene that needed to be exposed. But I found that something more interesting. Kenosha was a really vibrant community in the 1950s, 1960s. The Kenosha Art Association, the older organization in town, They actually, most of the organizations that represent the arts in Kenosha are created by members of the Kenosha Art Association, was founded in 1950. In 1950, 1960, the city of Kenosha have in downtown Kenosha 12 theaters. They have two really nice performance spaces. There were an event that was it was one of the biggest events on the Midwest. There was an art fair that was taking place on the bridge that connected 6th Avenue from where is the city located right now. The bridge doesn't exist, but when I started learning about the history of Kenosha, we discovered that basically what we're doing right now is trying to replicate what was already happening at that time. So we identified the Kenosha Rising was a really way to describe it. But the way this project took place is that we identified that the arts were looked something like made the city beautiful, had music, but they were not identified as the true strength that they have. The arts across the country and different communities are one of the most important economic forces. Right now, we have been giving credit, not only us, Kemper Center, the Kenosha Association, Lemon Street, the Kenosha Creative Space, are giving us a credit by the Kenosha Area Business Alliance to being one of the forces that have been helping them to attract economic development, investment, and talent into the community. The problem is that not really well quantified. We are just looking at the arts as something that makes us feel good, that makes us feel better, that makes everything look nicer, but we don't realize the important economic impact that the arts have for the community. So what we decided to do is to look at the numbers, and if you look at the back, this is the numbers that were available at that time, and if you look at the numbers, there is a really significant economic impact that the arts have into the community. So the Kenosha Rising was kind of the way to identify initiatives that will bring this into more a structured way to move into the future. There are a few initiatives that were proposed and they are happening, but they are happening in an organic way. There is not a structured way to develop them. But you have seen a lot of neighborhood revitalization programs, include the arts, the music, the events. They are bringing the neighborhoods together. We're looking at the downtown Kenosha. I think this is in the middle of that revitalization. But basically what is happening is you are just getting all the talent, the creativity that we have in town, use it as a showcase to attract the vibrancy that we need in order to be successful. I believe the most important part is this. We're trying to attract talent into the community. We're trying to attract investment, new companies. And one of the elements everybody's trying to put on the table to do that is to have tax incentives to try get economic incentives to bring this talent and corporations into the community. But there is a biggest challenge. These corporations have a challenge. They are not really looking at the economic incentives to move into Kenosha. They are looking into a vibrant community that they will allow them to actually attract talent, because that's what they are looking for. They are looking for a community that can provide a really interesting, vibrant quality of life. And I believe that that's what the arts represent to the community. The vibrancy, the arts is identified as one of the elements that make a healthy community. It's not the economic development, it's not the money that can be tangible, but this is the actual vibrancy that creates this quality of life. So basically what we did with this project is put that on numbers so that we can move from the intangible way of the art giving an impact into the community to try to start to quantify this in a way that it can be really well identified and can be supported the way that it needs to be supported.
Thank you.
So that was the background from the project. So.
Absolutely. So you'll see from this infographic that we did some economic analysis. We use what's called IMPLAN, which is economic modeling based on NETS data, which is all based on NAICS codes. We did some analysis. We looked at the sector broadly and saw that this is very significantly growing in Kenosha County and that it is making a real difference. We also did survey work, and the other piece around qualitative analysis that Supervisor O'Day is looking at currently is all around more of that qualitative data. What can we be doing to serve the creatives in our community? What do they like about living here? What do they not like about living here? What's keeping them here? What allows their businesses to grow? So it was a lot of work, and certainly we did this through a number of partnerships with primarily the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts, which Francisco was instrumental in starting. But there was a lot of partners, and we really tried to look at essentially what we can be doing to grow arts and culture in Kenosha County. So that was another project that community development and extension was involved with. So I'm just watching our time and trying to be cognizant. We're going to save our questions to the end. Thank you, Francisco, so much for being here. Sharon Palmaville, many of you know. We're going to switch gears here. County Board, previously County Board Supervisor. Sharon and I worked also, likewise, similar to Francisco, over many years to look at food security, a very different topic, certainly. But I was drawn in by a number of forces, and maybe, Sharon, you want to talk about sort of how Extension got involved with the Kenosha County Food Bank Initiative.
Absolutely. So my name is Sharon Palmaville, and I'm the Executive Director of the Sharing Center, which is for Western Kenosha County. It's the primary crisis center, resource center, and food pantry that serves the western 200 square miles of our county. I'm just recently off the county board, and there was a couple of things that happened during my county board time that actually filtered into some of the other work that we're doing now with the extension. But in 2015, I was sitting at my desk writing a grant, and I thought to myself, I wish I could write this grant for more than myself. We've got all these different food pantries in Kenosha County. We've got all these different programs. Why wouldn't it just be easier if we wrote one for everybody instead of everybody writing one grant for themselves? So I reached out to our county exec at the time, and I said, Jim, I said, I've got an idea. He said, what do you want? And I said, well, I think our county would really benefit from at least having a conversation of would a food bank benefit our community. And what he did was appoint the director from the extension to facilitate some conversations for about a year, a little bit more than a year. So he appointed Teddy Winnett, who was the director at the time, and what she did was convene all the providers in the county. I think at one point we probably had 20 or 25 partners at the table. She brought in a consultant to do an overview of the county, and then with that information, we went forward about seeing how we would possibly create a food bank. So the difference between a food bank and a food pantry works directly with people distributing food. A food bank collects food and gives it to the pantry. So right now, what pantries do is they all collect their own food. And sometimes what happens is, like for instance, do we get 5,000 ears of corn in one day? And that's a lot of corn. We really only needed 500, but you get what you get when you're a food pantry. You can't really say, no, I don't want that much, or this is too much. You really have to take what you get. So what a food bank can do is equalize that food where it goes, so you're getting the amounts that you actually need. It lightens the load on pantries because now we don't have to try to find our food every single day. We know we're going to get a delivery of exactly the amounts that we need on the times and days that we need it. And it also allows our community to come together in a different way where we can address greater problems like health disparities, racial equity within food pantries and food pantry programs. It'll also look at, oh my gosh, Amy, help me out. There were so many
housing
things.
Well, like people come in and they're staying in your parking lot. We can help like perhaps solve even more pressing needs than food if the food is taken care of.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because everybody on a pantry level, people come into a food pantry looking for food. That's usually just the very tip of the iceberg of the things that they might need. Food is the last thing folks most often will come and look for help for. They'll try to take care of everything else, but food, you can't skate by for a month without food. You can on your rent, or you can on your car payment, but food you got to always have. So what pantries can do then, if a food bank was maybe above a little bit in providing some over, like some really high level support, they can start addressing homelessness and housing issues and mental health crises. And it really opens us up a little bit more to be able to do the critical work that everybody who comes into our pantry experiences. It is a rare day that somebody comes in and that's all they need is food. It is extremely rare. And so it's been really good. So Teddy chaired this initiative until she retired, which I believe was January of 2017. And then I'm like, hey, Teddy, who do you got for me? And so I got Amy, and we carried it forward for a few more years, just her and I. And then at some point, she kind of took the lead on a lot of it, created the actual nonprofit, set the board in place, and really got the initiatives going. So for us on a pantry level, we usually don't have the expertise to do what Amy does. We have some thoughts, we have great ideas, we have almost no time. So when there's a larger project that needs to happen in our community, most nonprofits just do not have the time or the skill to do it, but that's what the extension provides our nonprofits.
Right. So the document that you have in your packet is just a very simple timeline. There's not even years here, but nonetheless, Kenosha County Food Bank was birthed or launched together, Sharon and I, and a large group of other supporters, through our efforts and through a lot of partnerships that we forged. Then began the opportunity to actually secure grants, to secure equipment, and I mean, this has taken form in real time that then we began like bona fide fundraising through the Kenosha County Food Bank, a lot of partnerships, and now the Kenosha County Food Bank is actually fully operational. It's just incredible that this, again, grew from initial conversations with Extension, seeing that this was an opportunity, and we went after it, and this is on its way. So Sharon, you know, can't speak enough to the leadership that she's shown in this effort. The second document attached to this is just some talking points. If you're not familiar with the Kenosha County Food Bank, this is an actual nonprofit in the Kenosha area working towards the creation of a food bank, fully functioning food bank. We can have a nonprofit all we want, but if it's not fully functioning and actually filling a need, that's a problem. And we need your support. So I've talked about the food bank previously. Daniel certainly knows about the work that Kenosha County Extension has been doing on behalf of the food bank, but this is just a little snapshot, and I do hope that you'll reach out with your inquiries to learn more about what the Kenosha County Food Bank can do for the pantries and all the programs here in the county. So thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, do you have the hunger
homeless? I didn't remember to print it.
I'm gonna tell anyways. Okay. So I was chairing a committee about a year and a half ago, not a county committee, but a committee in the county on, it was a homelessness and long story short. So I was collecting a lot of data around hunger and homelessness, and at one point we realized, as I was on the county board and I sat in almost all of the committee meetings and I chaired a couple different committees as well, I realized that the composition of the board at that time probably didn't have a lot of real-time knowledge on hunger and homelessness in our county. So I reached out to Amy and I said, what if we did a report? Well, I was really ambitious at the time. It was every month. We're down to twice a year now. What we create a report that shows what's happening currently around hunger and homelessness in our community, and how does that compare to like the last quarter to the last years? And this has been actually really interesting because
we have it. I'll pull it up We're linked here, so we may as well just look at it. So certainly this project grows out of an expressed need among our community agencies to basically respond to increasingly high homeless numbers and food insecurity rates. So I'm going to go ahead and just, I guess I'll download this. And you'll all get a copy of this at our next county board meeting. We'll just have Reggie put it on your desks. Apologies that I don't have this ready for us. But this is a report that Sharon and I have been working on for about a year at periodic times to make sure that county board supervisors understand there is a need out there that is largely unknown to those that perhaps don't touch this segment of our community. So Sharon, do you want to talk a little bit about what this is? This is our housing numbers. Well, and fair enough.
Like, yeah, I mean, one of the things that it points out is how many of us work completely networked to do everything we possibly can do around hunger and homelessness and how the need is just isn't met. I mean, that's literally the issue. Homelessness right now is the biggest one. In my opinion, the reason it is, it's just the lack of apartments that people can afford. And I mean, it is, I would say, probably for 98% of all of the families who come into our agency who are homeless, it's exactly that. It's not that, it's just they can't find a place they can afford. And so this talks about, you know, how many, coordinated entry is a process where we screen people to get them into different housing programs in our county. It doesn't take care of everybody, and every program is full with a waiting list. And it's just kind of a nice snapshot of what's everybody doing together and still not meeting the need. Doing a lot, but nowhere close to meeting the need.
Right, so this is the report that we'll share with you. And not only does it have homelessness numbers and housing insecurity numbers, it also talks at length about what is happening with food security. So we won't take time now. I understand I'm just like kind of throwing this at you, but we have on this report some of the numbers of people accessing pantries and how essentially this is on the rise, increasingly so, despite the increased benefits that the state and federal government is sort of expending to meet the need. So all that to say, we've been working in this space for a while. This remains an underserved area of interest and a lot of work to be done. So at 6:35, I want to take a break and, I guess, check in with you all. So these are three projects over about, 2013 to 9 years that I've worked on. I'm just giving you a very quick snapshot in 10 minutes worth of time. But I guess I wanted to demonstrate to you how community development is allowed to be very proactive out in the community, identifying opportunities. No one else in the county, like myself, funded on county tax levy, is allowed to move into these spaces, identify opportunities, perceive what's going on out there, and bring information back to the county. So it's been a pleasure working with these colleagues, and certainly a pleasure of mine to develop a career in this space. And I guess for the next, I don't know, can we take 5 minutes and just have a discussion more broadly among the county board supervisors? Supervisor Caro, does that make sense?
Absolutely, that's fine. It's a pretty open meeting, so.
Yes, Daniel.
Amy, regarding the food bank, what are some ways that the county board can tangibly help make that come to fruition so that the food bank itself can be more helpful to the pantries?
Well, it's a loaded question because there's a lot of ways that people can get involved, but I think the biggest value add that the county board could perhaps offer is just really talking about the differences between a pantry and a bank and how any community of our size nationally would have a bank to help negotiate the distribution aspect of food distribution. Like, essentially, logistics and supply chains are only getting more sophisticated. And I think the more that we talk about, well, Shalom has it covered, Sharing Center has it covered, we don't need what we don't need, you know, don't break or don't fix what's not broken, this whole thing. A community of our size is absolutely suited to have a sophisticated food bank in place to serve pantries. And we need to understand the differences and how pantries and banks operate in very different spaces. And we can move ourselves there and meet the challenge that is become very sophisticated food systems. And it's time. So thank you for the question.
Is the one way that you're suggesting why a food bank is necessary is precisely the example you used earlier. Someone brings a ton of perishable fruit or vegetables, let's say, to a pantry, but you don't need that much, so who knows, maybe a good portion of it goes to waste as opposed to taking it to the bank and then saying, how much do you need? And then she says, well, X, Y, or Z. And so she only, that particular pantry only gets what they need.
Thank you. In real time. Yes. What day is your pantry hours? Oh, it's Tuesday and Friday. We'll be there at 8. Your pantry hours are at 10. We'll drop off exactly what we know you'll need. You don't have to refrigerate it. You don't have to store it. It's ready for you. You focus on the client needs, which are people that are staying in your parking lot, living in their cars. Focus on the need of the client and don't worry about the product that you have and the quality of the product that you have. Thank you. That's exactly right. It's like, how do we look at this differently? Product and service, very different.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment. So one of the things Amy helped us identify, too, was the health disparities in Kenosha County, and our health rankings are so low. I think we're at 62, 68 at this point out of 72 counties. We're really right at the very bottom. So how can we as food pantries, you know, up our game as far as what we're giving and how we're teaching people to eat and cook and, you know, just literally change those health disparities in our county? And then, shoot, I had one more thing I was going to talk about, and it was really good. Location, right? You know, location is the big one that we're working on for the food bank right now, because the cost of rentals here in our community are very high because we're doing really well and, you know, people can afford it. So we've been unable to find a warehouse anywhere, and that's one thing that board members could help, just if something comes up and you can see a warehouse that might be more affordable or warehouse space, that's something we definitely need to be able to move forward with.
So there isn't a space now that I
can. No, right now we're working just a smaller scale out of the Racine County Food Bank. They're helping us out.
Okay.
But we'd love to bring it back into Kenosha County.
So you just mentioned Racine County Food Bank.
Yes.
How long has that been in existence?
Oh, boy. 20, 30 years?
20, 30 years, I'd say. And that's the challenge.
Do they have a warehouse location?
Yep. They have a warehouse.
I'm not aware of it. I just want to learn a little bit.
Absolutely.
Have we got a partnership with them?
They are on our board. Their executive director is on the board of Kenosha County Food Bank. We are in lockstep. We are co-located. Kenosha County Food Bank parks their truck and locates their equipment. Kenosha County Food Bank is operational in the house of Racine County Food Bank for the indefinite future, because there is no affordable land and we haven't been able to establish a property of our own. But yeah, we can talk all day about the dynamics involved with the food bank. It is very challenging right now in this environment, yet food is abundant. We have 25 plus food processing and food distribution companies alone located in Kenosha County. We are missing opportunities.
Big time.
Yeah, big time.
Prior to the pandemic, I estimated that between 1 and 2 million pounds of food left Kenosha County every year because nobody had the ability to bring it in and distribute it. And so how could that change the face of hunger? And it could go into daycares and senior centers and housing programs, and it could be more than just pantries. I think we're just really could do something with a couple million pounds of fresh. And this is all fresh produce, fresh meat. We're not talking about cans. It's things that would come from like Meijer and Good Foods and GFS, those types of things.
So I don't want to take away time from everyone else, and I know we have other parts of the meeting. I guess I'll just adjourn this portion of the feature presentation by saying that it has been a true pleasure working with partners on the ground over 11 years in Kenosha County. I am currently now, as you may have seen, transitioning into a new role with the Kenosha Community Foundation. I'm leaving Extension as of October 7th, and it is absolutely bittersweet to do so, but it is only because of Extension that this opportunity has come to me. So I just, you know, soft-hearted, I'm just very glad and grateful for the opportunity to work with Kenosha County over so many years and have their support, and I appreciate the partners more than you know. So at this point, I guess I'll just sign off and allow Supervisor Caro to take over. But thank you for this opportunity, and thank you to my co-presenters.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your time, Caro.
Yeah, thank you. Can I say something?
To me, I'm just like at the tip of the iceberg of learning and understanding all this stuff, so I appreciate the thumbnails and the information that you provided. So it's a lot to take in when you haven't been involved in it for years and years.
Yeah.
So appreciate your hard work and your effort. So, anybody else? No.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Amy. And it's amazing just looking at these three projects out of all of the projects that you've worked on in the last 9 years. It's the like wealth and vastness of the ways you've been able to impact Kenosha County, whether it's you know, financially or saving energy with the first project, whether it's, I mean, as a 20-something, I don't think I would live in Kenosha if the Creative Space didn't exist and I didn't find that place. And I know a lot of other young people that feel that way, who are bringing a lot of, you know, vibrancy to the community. And obviously, with the stats you just mentioned, the food bank is so needed. So just thank you for all of your work. And I'm really excited to see what you continue to do in Kenosha.
Just want to say,
is there any way they can make a comment?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that one of the things I recently learned is about economic development. I believe that this economic development is something that everybody's interested in and every community is interested in right now. But one of the things that's really difficult, and I think that these projects bring into fruition, is the economic development. I was told by one of the economic developers in town, they usually don't take into consideration the human element, because if you take into consideration the human element into the project is not going to move forward. Because you need to be just really into tangible goals and immediate results. So I think that what these projects are doing is bringing into the economic development field the human element that, in my view, is even more important than the economic development, because if you don't get into consideration the human element of this development that's happening, I think that we're failing the whole community. So that's what I think, that these projects are important.
That was my question.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to thank Amy for all the years. There would be days where I would talk to her once or twice a day. Amy, how do I do this? What is this? How does this work? She just became a really wonderful resource for those of us who are nonprofits and trying to figure things out, do new things, be more inventive, fix problems, you know, really kind of looking at a bigger picture. A lot of us in nonprofits, we look at what's in front of us. Amy's got this view that's up here and so much experience and just some life experience that a lot of us don't have, and her help to our nonprofits, I cannot tell you how invaluable it's been. And honestly, I don't know where most of us would be without what you guys provide to us, so I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. You're going to make her cry some more.
That's all right. I don't care.
It's your turn.
Yeah,
no,
yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a quick question, Amy. I appreciate everything that you've done since we've been here. We're still newbies. I appreciate Aaron's coming. But what will your new role be and how will it continue to impact the county?
So the executive director of the Kenosha Community Foundation is my incoming role. Community Foundation, they exist throughout the country. There's about 600 community foundations nationally. There's one in Racine, there's one in Milwaukee, et cetera, et cetera. Kenosha Community Foundation essentially is a house, a tax haven, if you will, for wealthy individuals that want to preserve the funds in endowments for future generations. So people invest their dollars into endowment funds, and then we have a firm that actually monitors, manages the dollars. Interest off those investments come back in the form of grants to nonprofits. So many nonprofits, it's like two-sided coin, one that the investor is certainly part of my job to attract and retain and draw in new investors, but also that other side of like, how do we identify issues that matter to the community, fund the organizations that are working on those issues, and truly pull the levers of change in the community. So whether it is food security, whether it is youth development, whether it is, you know, environmental impacts or, you know, mental health, whatever that looks like, I'm going to be able to kind of, you know, help committees navigate that and apply resources to the issues that matter most. So.
Is there an established endowment already, or are you?
Well, we have about $15 million in assets. So the Kenosha Community Foundation has existed since 1926. $15 million in assets to date. That is primarily private individuals that are giving grants and scholarships. Atifa is on the board, an advisor of the Mahone Fund, which is a very large scholarship fund of over $1 million going out to at-risk youth. So it's grants and scholarships, but by comparison, Racine Community Foundation is at about $80 million worth of assets. So we're at 15. I'm not saying we have to compete. It's not a competition. It's just to give you a sense of scale. We have a lot of room to grow. People don't know the Kenosha Community Foundation exists. They don't know what we do. And I'm certainly going to be addressing that issue when I come in, because it is a huge opportunity. Community foundations are at that crux of public and private good. Like, how do we do this better?
Competition is good, though.
Sure. Yeah, let's get after it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. And again, I want to make sure that we leave time for
sure.
The other items here.
Thanks.
So what do we have? You have some updates from you?
Yes, from the Extension Educators update. So,
sure.
You want to
I'll just do a couple quick updates. I took a note on my phone just to make sure I remembered what I was going to say. So last month I was talking about the promotion and distributed some flyers about the new end-of-life planning series that Extension has launched, Planning Ahead. I actually facilitated our first session yesterday morning, and so it's a 7-week series that is addressing things like finances, advanced directives, end-of-life care choices, grief, among other things. But we had a virtual, we're doing this virtually, but had almost 50 attendees at the first session. So I think it's good to know that it has been well received in communities and that it's something that people are interested in. And then I also have continued to partner with the Sharing Center, Sharon left, but they had approached me through some other professional development that I had done that they were interested in offering financial coaching to their clientele, and just kind of that knowing they're such a hub in the western part of the county and they have a lot of people coming in not only for food but for other community resources, emergency resources, things like that. So in the last year I've been able to provide information that is on their website and has gone out in newsletters, and then also, you know, once or twice a month,
being able to go out to the Sharing Center during their pantry hours to just meet with some of the clients. It can be that warm handoff sometimes between the pantry staff and volunteers to walk someone over to me and we can just start that conversation. You know, since it is a voluntary service of coaching, it is something that then is, you know, they're able to give them the information and encourage that. But then beyond that, it's really motivated by the clientele.
Okay. How did the mental health first aid class go? I don't know if you gave us an update back in June. And if there's any
might not have. Yeah. So it went really well. It was in person here at the Kenosha County Center. I was co-facilitating with someone from the VA, so it was a great class. There were a lot of professionals coming for professional development kind of within the agency or the schools or, you know, different roles that they serve. I have a couple more virtual classes lined up for this fall with specific organizations, and then hopefully we'll be able to continue to find local or near local people that I can co-facilitate with. So recently had a conversation with a couple people that work in Illinois, but they're in Lake County and McHenry County. So we were just discussing what that potentially could look like, since even though it's a different state, we're so close and, you know, Okay. Residents don't necessarily mind.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
So just a quick update from the horticulture side. So I've been working closely with the Green Industry Association in trying to create a job skill training program for the Wisconsin Correction Institute. So we finally drafted a curriculum. It's still under the review between the two associations. So hopefully by end of this month, we'll be getting approved, and then probably the Correction Institute director will start advertising statewide in recruiting some potential inmates to join this Green Industry program. The other aspect, last month alone, I got more than 100 consumer inquiries, and most of the inquiries are related to the oak death. So in our community, we have been facing a lot of decline of oak trees right and left, and even the mature oak trees, more than 100 years old, has been declining or has a lot of dead branches and stuff. So even in the city of Kenosha, one of the oldest one is 150 years old, was all of a sudden collapsed down. So it's a heritage oak, and so we had a lot of inquiries about it. Most of those things are compounded effect. Last year's drought put up a kibosh to it. So that's a big thing. The third thing, the state has put on alert for the spotted lanternfly. This is an invasive insect that's actually marching its way in Midwest. So I'm going to pass this information to you guys. So this spotted lanternfly is origin from China. Its first invasion was in Pennsylvania in 2014. And this particular invasive insect, it's not like something like emerald ash borer, which devastated all the ash trees, but there's something more than that. It attacks more than 70 to 100 different species. Mm-hmm. And the fruit growers are going to be the most concerned, especially the grape growers. The problem is that this particular insect sucks the saps of the tree. It has a very strong proboscis, which means the mouth part. And it sucks the sap off it, weakens the tree. At the same time, it poops out a large amount of honeydews. And so when you walk around or park your car underneath the tree, you're going to see this sticky mass actually on your windshield. And these things can get fermented and turn into completely blackish in color and cause some foul odor. And so it's going to be a big nuisance issue. So Pennsylvania and Cornell universities are leading in doing some more research work, trying to understand the biology of this insect. So right now, the recent detection has been found in Michigan and Iowa. So it's a matter of time. Who knows, Kenosha could be the gateway to it, to Wisconsin. So we are trying to put together a resource team to address this issue. So I'll keep you guys posted. Maybe in the next future presentation would be specifically about this. I'll talk more about it.
Is the lanternfly inhibited by climate at all, or is it? able to spread throughout the U.S.?
It has potential to spread throughout the U.S., but it prefers more on the warmer zone area. So the USDA has released a map where some potential habitat is going to be. It's going to be primarily towards actually southeast part of Wisconsin and probably looming around in Chicago to Kansas and those area. But with the climate change, that's a good possibility again. It can move further up to the north of Wisconsin. Who knows?
So emerald ash borers, Japanese beetles.
I don't remember the name of it, but I know them as gypsy moths, and that was said as an issue.
It's all happening up in the last 100 years.
Oak wilt
is a native one, it is not. But the Dutch elm disease, which happened up in 1960s, it's actually an invasive disease, okay, from Europe.
So that is harming our oaks. What's harming our oaks?
So oaks right now, mostly it's last year's drought. We had actually an exceptional drought. Once in 100 years, we got this drought in Kenosha. And because of that, many of the oak trees are, you know, succumb to those things. But we tend to have oak wilt disease, which is a vascular disease. It spreads and attacks the water system in the tree. It's naturally around there in Wisconsin. You know, it's not an invasive disease.
So, doesn't it mostly affect the red oaks, though?
Primarily, yes, red oak and black oaks. But the white oaks tends to be more tolerant to it. Perfect. But it will take about a couple of seasons to knock them out. Yes. Right. Yeah.
I have white and oak down here, but I have 20 acres of oak up north. So
wait, 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 where are you going to my oaks?
Oh boy.
Atifa, you want
to? Oh.
Nope.
As you know, my name is Atifa Robinson. I am a nutrition administrator. I took over in November 1st of 2021. And some of the things that we have been working on in both counties, Reason and Kenosha, I came right in and we celebrated National Nutrition Month. And so we were the first and the UW Extension to get proclamations in both cities. And so we're going to continue the work. We ended up with 46 partners. Our main partners that helped with National Nutrition Month was the Kenosha Public Library, Racine Public Library, Rugen, Urban League, some of those partners, Acelero. The other thing that we're going to be working on, we're working with Sharon on some PSC efforts around the food commodity box. We know that over 50% of health disparities are caused by some of those items that are in there. We're looking at ways to how we can regroup and provide some direct education around that and healthy recipes so we can bring down those health disparities that you guys talked about. Coming up really soon, we're actually working with the Racine County Food Bank. We will be working with early education, working with our younger youth to do some field trips. They're going to do direct educations about how to eat healthy, the My Plate. Then they're going to learn about the resources that you talked about so they can bring that home to their parents. And then they're going to go into the teaching garden to understand that how do you grow healthy food within your own backyard or within your home. So if you do early education around nutrition education, it'll combat a lot of the health problems as you get older, such as like obesity, high blood pressure, you know, heart attacks, things like that. The other thing that I wanted people to know is our funding is still the same. Funding hasn't changed and mission hasn't changed. There are going to be a lot of state requirements and new changes coming up. As those changes are occur, I will make sure that the board is aware of all those changes. We are still working with limited income families. The other things we're going to be doing focus groups so we can figure out how we can improve our programs and how we can navigate between Racine and Kenosha County and serve our parents and our youth better and our partners throughout the community.
Right, and Atifa, just so I'll remember that FoodWise is federally funded. There's
federally
no
funded.
Tax levy on nope. The nutrition education program.
Correct.
However, they're invaluable to us and open doors everywhere. So relevant to all the programming we do.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At 7 o'clock, but I did have a chance, and many of you know that former Director Ward has left.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Chrissy Wren, who is the executive director or area director? Is it
area interim area director?
Interim area
yes.
director, but she's also the one for area director for Walworth, Rock, and Jefferson County.
Correct.
Yeah.
So now she is also the interim director for Racine and Kenosha Counties, which she has done before, but in the recent past. And she said in the next month or so, they're going to actively be, you know, figuring out how to find the replacement. So
yes.
I asked her, I said, how is that, how long is that going to take? Is that hard to find? She said that she expects in the next month or two to have that, you know, that position.
Right, and Chrissy is going to see us through the budget process, and she's done this before prior to Terry's hire,
right.
So we are solid as far as leadership, getting through the budget.
Yep.
Jim Kupfer knows Chrissy, everything is clicking.
Yep. Okay, so that was the only other update.
And then Amy, I did bring our flyer just in case about, and it talks about our federal funding if some of new supervisors didn't have it.
Sure. Like, I think they're taking off for their next meeting.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
Be out, Jenny. Oh, yes. Sorry, yep. We'll adjourn and head over to, do we have to make a motion? Or?
No.
We'll adjourn. Sorry. That's a little more informal.
This is great. We should, when we share our.
That's what I was going to ask you to do. Yeah.
Do you have 23 of these?
I do have electronic too. That's why
I
didn't pass it out. You want me to send it to you?
Annual reports at the county board meeting next week.
Can you scrape one else for me?
Thank you, Supervisor Carroll.
Hey, pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you as well.
It's a new face.
So there's 23 supervisors. I'm going to leave one of these at each of their desks.